tell me something that that went on in their life. I'm like, wow, I never thought of that one. Or sometimes it'll be in my own life. Something will happen, and I think, boy, I didn't see that one coming. And so we all deal with those kinds of struggles and battles in our life, and we look for answers, especially inside of the church, inside of the Christian community. We look for answers inside of the Word of God. We look for to make some sense out of the things that happen in life. We look for some kind of place of understanding, something that we can rally around, something that we can kind of find that is secure and solid, even in a time of storms and sinking sands. We look for something solid. And when we turn to the Word of God, there are quite a few places that we could turn, and quite a few passages of Scripture that give us instruction and insight, help for dealing with those things in our life. And there's one phrase that stands out throughout the Bible from beginning to end. It is a common phrase that, quite honestly, I think many times we kind of overlook. We think, well, that's good for someone else. And so we just kind of overlook this passage. We know it's there. We just don't, we just kind of maybe think it's for somebody else. This is, somebody else needs to hear that. That doesn't really apply to me. That applied to that person in the Bible, but not me. But as I study the Word of God, I found out, I've discovered that, I realized that it is not just a suggestion, it is a commandment. And it is the most common commandment in the entire Bible. We know the Word of God tells us what the greatest commandment is. When we read the Word of God, the disciples go to Jesus one day and they say to Him, they say, Lord, tell us what's the greatest commandment. We want to know which one is the greatest. And He looks at them and He tells them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And He said, this is the greatest commandment. And so we know what the greatest commandment is. And most of us, to be honest, we would say, okay, I get it. That one's not too difficult. I know sometimes I may not do everything I should, but I understand that the greatest commandment is to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I'm trying. I'm trying. I really am. I'm giving it my all. I'm trying to live by the greatest commandment. But this morning, I want us to focus not so much on the greatest, but on the most common. Would you agree with me this morning that anything that God says is important? Yeah. I was worried. That worried me a little bit, what kind of answer I was going to get, just to be sure. Would you agree with me that if He repeats it twice, it must be really important? What would you say if I told you that there is a commandment in the Word of God that is repeated 365 times? Would you say that one might matter? Would you say He may be trying to get that one through to us? That He might be trying to get that one into our heart? In fact, somebody has said that it's there 365 times, one for every day of the year, because we need it every day. Anybody know what that commandment is? Be not afraid. Fear not. That's it. Over and over again throughout the Word of God, you can't read very far where you won't come across God, Christ, the Holy Spirit saying to someone in some circumstance, fear not, be not afraid, don't be afraid, something of that arrangement of words, to fear not. The passage that we're looking at this morning is in the book of Revelation, but I started to say, just open your Bible and look, and you'll probably, whatever page you turn to, if you read, you'll find it. You just hang on, we'll all get back together in a minute. But the passage I want to look at this morning to talk about this common commandment is in Revelation chapter 1. Now, generally when you stand up and you say, turn to the book of Revelation, there are a group of people who, when you say, I'm going to preach from Revelation, they're like, oh, goody, 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 we're going to talk about yellow horses and seals and bowls and, oh boy, we're going to talk about prophecy. You know, then there are some when you say, let's talk about Revelation, go, oh no, I don't get this stuff. Either one of you, those that go goody, 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 you're going to be unhappy because we're not talking about prophecy this morning. Those of you who go, oh no, I won't get to it, you're saved because we're not talking about prophecy. We're in the first chapter. We're in the chapter where God begins His revelation to John. Now, before we talk about this very much, this commandment that Christ gives here when he says to John, he comes to John, he appears to John, and he says to him there, he says, when he comes to him, he says these words, he says, "Fear not." Right there, kind of in the middle of the 17th verse, he says, "Fear not." Now, you and I see that, and you know, we say that all the time. How many times have we told our children, "Don't be afraid"? How many times have we told our spouse, "It's all right, I've got this. Don't be scared. I'll take care of it"? You know, we say that all the time to folks. But Christ comes to John and says, "Fear not." It's a whole different animal. I'm not sure if you're aware of the setting of the chapter of what's going on, but John isn't sitting back in a lounge chair eating grapes, being fanned with palm leaves by beautiful women. That's not where John is. John is not sitting back eating marshmallows and birthday cake. John has been exiled. John has been banished by the Roman Emperor Domitian. He has been sent to a little island by the name of Patmos. Now, I don't know much about the island because I haven't been there and I'm not volunteering. But I know what the word Patmos means. The word Patmos means my killing. And so, you want to go on vacation to my killing? That ought to tell you about as much as you need to know about where John was. But as I studied this, I came across something that I have never noticed before about this island. Several places, as I read about Patmos, it was described as a sterile island. Now, I don't think I've ever heard that phrase before, a sterile island. You know, I'm thinking, well, islands don't reproduce anyway. Well, sterile island. Well, what they mean by that is this island didn't grow anything. This island was a rock. This island nothing could survive there. It didn't have vegetation. It was basically a rocky bump in the water. I mean, it was, if you wanted to punish somebody, this was it. This was the place to send them. And so John, for preaching the gospel, has been exiled, has been banished to this little sterile island named My Killing, or Patmos. And he is there, as far as he knows, for the rest of his life. Whatever that would entail, John thinks he will die on that island. Now, we know in hindsight that eventually John was allowed to leave. John was brought back and brought back to the mainland and allowed to finish out his life, finish out his ministry. But as far as John knew at this moment, he was, this was his death sentence. This was where he was going to end his life, on a barren island, alone, away from everybody, away from anybody he loved, away from anybody he didn't even like. I mean, just nobody. He was banished to that land, and that was where he was going to die. And all of that because, not because he was a thief, not because he had robbed the bank, not because he had, stole from his employer. John had been banished because he had been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the emperor said, "You got to go." And so he banished him out to this island. And along comes Jesus. Jesus appears to John, and he makes this statement, "Fear not." Now, again, it's one thing when you're in the middle of a thunderstorm or something that says, "Oh, don't be afraid." It's one thing when somebody knocks on your door and the dog's charging and barking, "Don't be afraid, let me get him." It's one thing in that situation. But you take John's situation and many others throughout the Word of God, and you consider this commandment that Jesus comes along and says, "Fear not." As I thought about that, and I think about the idea that here is the most common commandment in the Word of God. Here's the thing that God says the most often to His people. I got to be honest with you. If I hadn't studied the Word of God, if I had been outside of the church, and just based on what generally the perception of the church is, what generally the perception of Christianity is, and someone would have come to me and said, "Hey, got doing a little quiz here. What do you think is the most common commandment in the Word of God?" I got a feeling if you went out onto the streets of America and you walked out and you found unchurched people and said, "What do you think is the most common commandment in the Word of God?" Many of them would say something like this: "Well, you're supposed to tithe." Because isn't that the image that a lot of people have of the church?
You know, even inside of the church, if I would say to most, what is the most common commandment inside in the Bible? What would it be? Many people would say, well, pray. Yeah, you ought to pray. Yeah, witness. You ought to witness. You ought to tell others about Christ. Have faith. You know, all those very righteous, holy-sounding things. Those are the things we say. You know what? I believe if God was repeating something over and over, it would be have faith, it would be pray, it would be witness, it would be give, it'd be come to church. Because isn't that generally, that's the most common commandment in the church. I promise you that. You know, one of those, or a combination of them, or all of them at once. Pray, give, come. You know, those are the commandments of the church. But isn't it an awesome thing this morning to understand, and let that sink into you for just a moment, to understand and to realize that the most important thing that God said, the most common thing that God says to you is not, I want your money. Not that I want you to pray. Not that I want you to have faith. But hey, I got my arm around you. I'm concerned about you. Don't be afraid. Well, what a comfort to know. What an awesome thought to understand that the most important, that the most common thing that God has to say to you is not that I want your money, or I want you to witness, or I want you to pray, or I want you to go to church. It's that He comes up beside of us and says, you know what? Over and over and over again, I want you to know that I am here with you, that I will never leave you nor forsake you, that I am by your side. Fear not. Fear not. That's a common thing. Think about all the times. Just some of the times we think about when God uses those words. Those shepherds sitting out on the hill. What are the words of the angels? Fear not to those shepherds as He announced the birth of Christ. He said that to them, to Mary, on the morning of the resurrection. Fear not. Over and over again, Christ comes to us and instead of chastising us for our fear, instead of chastising us for not praying or not having faith or not giving or not going to church or all the other things that sometimes we think are so important, the God of heaven says, come here. I'm up here on my knee. I'm going to put my arm around you and tell you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know what the doctor said. Don't be afraid. I know what the bank account says. Don't be afraid. I know how your children are acting. Don't be afraid. I know where you work. I know who your boss is. Don't be afraid. I know what the neighborhood's like. I know what's going on in your life. Don't be afraid. Isn't it awesome that to let that sink in for a moment, that the most common thing that God says, the most common commandment, is not don't cuss, don't tell dirty jokes, don't lie, don't steal, don't drink. All the things that we think are so important. And I'm not saying they're not important. Listen, they're on the list of commandments too. I'm just saying that the one that He repeats over and over and over again is come here. Come here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Listen, as I studied that, I found out something. That word fear that is used, I've never thought of fear this way. But the word that is used there for the word fear can also be translated as awe or reverence. And I thought about that, and I had to work on that a little bit in my mind. I think, what exactly is He talking about? And so I had to get it into my mind. I kind of had to switch things around a little bit and step back and do a little mental maneuvers here. A little mental gymnastics. And I thought, what does it mean to be in awe? Well, what does it mean to be in awe? And I thought about it. Have you ever been in awe? Have you ever stood at the beach as the sun comes up and you're staring just, wow. You ever looked at the mountains and the snow-covered mountains and just stood there and like, wow. You ever seen Janice passing around pictures of her grandbaby? Janice came with a book. I thought it was... Yeah, there you go. I thought it was a Bible, but it's thicker than a Bible. Janice just stands there and just... Yeah, in awe. You ever been there? Some of you have been there when you stood at the hospital and they come walking out and said, here's your grandbaby. And you were just like, wow. In awe. You ever been in awe? Some of you fellas, think back to one day, and don't be careful what you do right here. Don't let me get you elbowed. You think back to that day when you stood at the front of a church somewhere and the organist started, duh, 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 and you looked up and here she came, here came your beautiful bride down, and you just kind of said, Yeah. You didn't, yeah. There could have been 500 people in the church and you didn't see any of them. You were in awe of your beautiful bride coming down the aisle. Now, it may not have lasted till you got out, but for a moment you were in awe. So I told you, don't let me get you elbowed. Yeah. So there are times in our life when we stand and we look at things and we're like, wow. And for a moment, everything else disappears. Everything else vanishes. Nothing else matters. You don't hear anything. You just look at that sun rising. You look at those mountains. You look at that grandbaby. You look at that bride. Whatever it is, you just stand there in absolute awe. And then it hit me. Because I've been there. When the problems and the trouble of life, when the storms, when the struggles, when the battles got so big that I couldn't see anything else. That I stood there in awe of the problem. That I stood there. John, don't be in awe of this island. Don't be in awe of the emperor. I'm greater than either. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to stand here. And you said, what about reverence was wrong? Think about it. We get to the point. If we've got our mind on that problem, we're focusing on that issue, that struggle, that battle of life, then we don't have our eyes on God. We've moved our reverence from God to the problem. That hurts to admit that one, doesn't it? To say that we've begun to revere the problem. The problem is what's controlling our life. The problem, the struggle, the battle, it's what's guiding us. It's all we think about. It's what manipulates us. It's what we wake up thinking about. It's what we go to sleep thinking about. It's what we go through our day thinking about. And all we can think about is that battle. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't be in awe. Don't revere the problem. Fear not. Now that sounds great, but how can Jesus say that? I want you to look at what he says following that. John, fear not. Look at what he says at the end of this verse. And I've got the scripture a little bit on the wrong slide, but we're going to stay right here for a minute. Even I want to look at the cause. Well, what does he say here? He says, I am the first and the last. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Here's what Jesus was saying to John. John, I am the beginning, I am the end. By the way, he's not just saying it to John, he's saying it to you and I. I am the beginning and the end, therefore you don't have to fear anything in between. I am the beginning, I am the end. See, here's what I believe. Let me just give you a little insight into my theology. Let me give you an insight into my belief system. Let me make it real, real simple for you. Back there in Genesis, y'all remember Genesis, right? Where God says, where the Bible says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let me tell you my great big explanation of what I believe that means. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's what I believe. God said, let there be creeping things on the ground, and there was creeping things on the ground. That's what I believe. He said, let me take a scoop of dirt and make man. And he blew nostrils, blew air into his nostrils, and he was alive. That's what I believe. He took a rib, and he made a woman. That's what I believe. I don't think there was a bang, big or little. You know, I don't believe in evolution for a moment. Not even for a second. I believe in what God says about the beginning. That in 6 days he created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. I believe that. With all my heart, I believe that. Do I understand it? No. That is the most fantastic story, one of the most fantastic stories ever told. That God just walked around saying, be that, be there, be there. That man for the dirt, and there was a man. That is an absolute mind-boggling story. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I don't understand how they divide atoms, turn it into electricity, send it down a power line, and we have light. But thank God we do. I certainly don't understand how it turns into air conditioning. But I'm really tickled about that. I don't understand. But I believe that. You know what? I believe that about the beginning. You know what? I believe what he says about the end. If you keep reading in the book of Revelation and some other places in the Word of God, you're going to find out that the Bible says that one day Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern skies and he's going to say, come up hither, and all God's people are going to come up thither. Wherever, whatever, hither and thither, we're going there. I believe that. Every word of it.
I believe that we're going to go up there and we're going to spend time. We're going to spend time 7 years at the marriage feast of the Lamb, marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe we're going to come back. There's going to be a 1,000 years millennial reign. I believe there's going to be a battle between good and evil. Satan and all evil is going to be cast into hell. New Jerusalem's going to come down, and I'm going to spend eternity worshiping God. I believe that. I don't understand a word of it. I don't get it. That's a fantastic story. I don't want to spend eternity with me. Why in the world would God want to spend eternity with me? I don't understand that. I certainly don't want to spend eternity with most of you. I don't understand that. That is the most fantastic story I've ever heard of. That God loved me enough to send His only Son to die on a cross, shed His blood for my sins so that I wouldn't have to die, so that I wouldn't spend eternity separated from God in a devil's hell, so that I could spend eternity with Him. I don't understand that, but I believe it. And if I can believe the beginning story of God spoke all that stuff into existence, and if I can believe the end story that He's going to say, come up hither and I'm going up thither, then I can believe everything else in the middle is in His control.
Amen.
I don't have to understand it. I don't have to be afraid because He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Nothing has ever caused God to go, wow! Nothing has ever caused God to go, whoops! Nothing has ever caught God off guard. Everything from beginning to end, He knows about, is in control of, and I don't have to worry.
Amen.
He is the first and the last. Keep looking in verse 18. I'll just say that He is the first and the last. But if you look at that passage, I'll just say the first and last. He says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Not only is He the first and the last, but He says, you know what? In between, I've done what? The biggest thing you have to be afraid of. Listen, He says, I was alive, then I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. You know what He says? He says, I came to earth, I hung on a cross, I spent 3 days in a tomb, and I took death, and I backed it across the head. The Bible says in Genesis that God said to Satan, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. You know what He was talking about? He was talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't have to be afraid of death because the Bible says that Jesus Christ has already took the sting from death. I don't have to be afraid of it. I don't have to worry. Listen, I'm not volunteering. Don't misunderstand me. I'm having a ball. Listen, I tell you again, my goal is the day I die, you look at me and go, come by my casket. Don't go, well, he looks good. Come by and go, man, he looks wore out. Because I want to get all the good there is on this earth. But you know what? When it's over, I don't have to be afraid because Jesus Christ died for me. Listen, we don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of the grave. We don't have to be afraid of condemnation. We sung it this morning in that first hymn, redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed. He says He is alive forevermore. And then He says this. He goes on. How can He say that? Fear not, because He is the first, the last. He's been dead, but He lives forevermore. And now He says He has the keys to death, or to hell and death. You know, any way you look, keys mean authority. If you got the key to something, that means you're in control. That means you're in charge. You know, you got the keys, that means you have some authority. And Jesus says, you know what? I got the keys to hell. Got them in my pocket. I've got the keys to death. I don't have to be afraid to die or live because He's got the keys. See, there are some of you sitting here this morning. You're going through your life. You're scared to death of tomorrow. You're scared to death of what's out there, of what you're going to have to do tomorrow, what the doctor's going to say, what work's going to say. A lot of people live their life afraid, scared of tomorrow. The rest are living their life afraid of yesterday, afraid that their past is going to catch up with them, afraid that what they've done in the past, someone's going to find out, it's going to be brought back up. And the Bible says here, Jesus says He is alive, He's the King, first and last, He has the keys to hell and death. I don't have to be afraid of yesterday because God can't remember it. It's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and when you look it up, it says He is clean. I don't have to be afraid of the future because He has already forgiven me of all my sins, past, future, and present. And I am forgiven. I don't have to be afraid. The grave has no power, no victory. I don't have to be afraid because He says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let me tell you something. I had the, I won't say privilege, but that may not be the right word, but opportunity in the last few weeks. I had the opportunity to sit and talk with three of our church members. And you all know them, know their circumstances. And here's what I heard. Wednesday evening, talking to Melissa. I'm going to call her 19. I was about to give her age, but I'm going to say a 19-year-old young lady. She's young. How's that? She's younger than me. She's younger than most of you. How's that? Diagnosed with throat cancer with a teenage son. Chemo has got her where she can't eat, having to be fed by a stomach tube. And I'm not saying anything that everybody pretty well doesn't know. She's sitting there, doesn't know if this chemo and the radiation has worked, won't know for several months. She sits in her house, and she looks at me and says, I cannot believe how good God has been to me. Elsie sits in the hospital, diagnosed once again with cancer, and says, I thank God that I know who holds tomorrow. Russell finishes his radiation and sends his church a card that says, I am fine with God's plans and at peace. That's peace that only comes from God. That's a peace that this world can't supply. That's a peace that no oncologist, no cardiologist, no doctor, no nurse can ever give. They'll walk in and say, we'll do our best. This is what we're going to try. But Jesus walks in and says, fear not. He didn't tell John it wasn't a problem. He didn't tell John it wasn't a real island. He didn't tell John it wasn't a real battle. But he told John that battle, that island wasn't his big concern. Fear not. Don't be in awe of the island. Don't be in awe of the problem. Fear not. I have been amazed. I will call it my privilege. I hesitated to use that word a while ago. I will call that my privilege to see three people whose faith is that strong. From day one, their faith that strong facing their battles. I will call that a privilege to see people who have that kind of confidence in their Savior, who have that kind of confidence to say, I will fear not. Listen, I am fine with God's plans and at peace. I don't know what your rock is this morning. I don't know what your Patmos is this morning. I don't know what your exile this morning is. I don't know what your battle is this morning. But I know that 365 times in the Word of God, it says, fear not. Doesn't say the problem's not real. Doesn't say that all of a sudden you're not going to be broke. It doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to be well. Doesn't mean all of a sudden your kids are going to behave. But it means that Christ says it doesn't have to be the thing that dominates your thought. It doesn't have to dominate your life. Fear not. Some of you here this morning, you're afraid of the future. You're afraid of tomorrow because you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You've never accepted Him as your personal Savior. Can I tell you something? You should be afraid. You should be very afraid. Because you may not make it out of this building today. you may not make it home. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, in just a moment, we're going to have our hymn of invitation. Let me encourage you this morning to step out of that pew and to come and let us show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus Christ, how that fear can be removed, how you don't have to fear the future, how you don't have to be afraid of death, how you don't have to be afraid of dying. You can look to the future with hope, and you can look to the future with confidence because you know who holds tomorrow. You're here today and you say, Jimmy, I am a Christian, but man, I've been struggling, I've been battling, I've been going through some horrible things in my life. Fear not, Jesus said. Not Jimmy, not your Sunday school teacher, not the deacons, but the Word of God says, fear not. Don't be in awe. Don't let that thing dictate it. Don't let that problem dominate your thinking. Focus on Him. You need to come this morning and say, Lord, help me to deal with this. Help me to handle this. Help me to know what to do. Help me to live without fear. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I'm good. But I've got a friend, I've got a family member that's really struggling. You want to come and pray for them. Whatever God lays on your heart this morning, as our musicians come, fear not. It's not what I said. It's not what your mama said. It's not what somebody... It's what God says 365 times. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be in awe of the problem. Be in awe of God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for one moment. Allow the Holy Spirit just to gently speak to you. You don't know Christ, you need to come. You're dealing with a burden, you need His help. You've got a friend, a loved one, family member, co-worker. You want to come and pray for them? Church family? Whatever. Whatever God lays on your heart. Fear not. Fear not. As we stand together.